kind, and the other which means well. So the word cheerful means a well mind. When our Lord said, be of good cheer, and he said it three times in the Bible, be of good cheer, he's saying be of a well mind. A merry countenance or a cheerful countenance doeth good like a medicine. What is that? A countenance of a well mind. A person that doesn't enjoy life can't have a well mind. A person that isn't cheerful can't have a well mind. And so I want to chat with you for a while about it. People come to our church and they hear the buzzing as they come in, and they hear all the talking and the fellowshipping and so forth, and they say, I don't like that. I don't like that. That's irreverent. It isn't really. I hope to tell you this morning why it isn't. You see, you've been brainwashed a little bit by the liturgical religions. You've been brainwashed a little bit by the ritualistic religions that believe that God is in a building, and that you come by and visit God every Sunday morning, and that's why you sing the Lord is in his holy temple, because here's where the Lord lives. We come by every Sunday morning, see how God's getting along, and we worship him, then go out and live like the devil all week long. And but that's not true. The Lord is not here any more than he's in your kitchen at home. The Lord is not here any more than he's anywhere that Christians gather. If this group had gathered this morning down the Civic Center, as we've done before, a young people, the row of girls, the girl I called down several times, and the dark dress with the white down the front, the one I called down last Sunday, and the fellow beside two over that I called down last Sunday, I'm going to send you out. Call your names and send you out if you misbehave again this morning. And if we met down the Civic Center, the Lord would be just as much there as he is here. The Lord is not, Jesus said to the woman in Sychar, she said, yeah, we know about you Jews. You worship the God in Jerusalem, and we worship on Mount Gerizim, we Samaritans do. Jesus said, that's not true. The day is coming, and now is, when they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What did he mean? Wherever you go, wherever Christians gather, you can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. People come to our service, and we sing, what's the first song we sang this morning? You got a card there? Yeah, he is able. 'Tis the grandest theme on the mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. And folks wonder, now that's Sunday night singing, they say. Why don't you sing on Sunday morning? Holy, holy, holy. From Greenland's icy mountains. Or how tedious and tasteless the hours. Why don't you sing something high church on Sunday morning? Because we want to have a merry heart on Sunday morning as much as on Sunday night. We want to have a well mind. We want to have something that does good like a medicine. Well, you say, why don't you do it on Sunday night? Because a lot of you folks don't come back on Sunday night. And I might say this, it's the folks that want the liturgical service that don't come back on Sunday night. You don't come back. If you get a merry heart, we've got to get you a merry heart in a hurry. And we sing the same songs on Sunday morning we sing on Sunday night. And so forth, and people can't quite understand it. Now this morning, if you will listen to me, I can help you to have healthier children in your home. I can help you yourself to be healthier. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Did you know that doctors say, and I'm sure that Dr. Streeter, one of our deacons, will vouch for this, but you know that doctors say that 90% of the people who come to them have psychological illnesses instead of physical illnesses? 90% of the people who go to doctors, it's in the mind rather than in the body. And much of the other 10%, the physical ailment is caused by something wrong in the mind. Frederick II, you historians know this, Frederick II ruled Sicily in the 13th century. Frederick II, and the fact that you mentioned the orphanage this morning is very interesting. I'm going to say a few words about orphanages this morning. But Frederick II got the idea, or he wondered, what language that children would speak if they were taught no language. And so he decided that he would take some children and place these children in certain foster homes, and nobody would speak a word to these children. Nobody. Nobody would speak a word. These children would be placed in homes that have foster mothers, foster fathers, but they wouldn't speak to them. Not one. And the idea that Frederick II was seeking was to find what language they naturally would speak. And so these children grew up without one word being said. I mean, nobody said one word to them, and all of them died within a year. Every one of them. You know why? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. In 1915, there was a study in the Johns Hopkins made a study. And what they did was this. They found that 90% of the infants put in poor foster homes live less than 1 year. If children, and I don't think they should have done this, but they did it. They put some children in a good foster home and other children in a stern foster home where there was fussing and fuming and fighting. And the ones that were placed in the stern foster homes live less than 1 year. Why? Because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. In Germany, in the post-World War II days in Germany, they built two orphanages. They put 50 children in one orphanage and 50 in another. They fed them the same meat. They fed them the same vegetables. They fed them the same fruit. They had exactly the same diet. They built exactly the same kind of rooms. They had exactly the same kind of heat. They gave them exactly the same kind of exercise. There was not one difference between these two orphanages of 50 children each except one thing. And that one thing was this. 50 of the children in one orphanage had a happy, cheerful atmosphere. The other orphanage was sternly operated, and no smile, no love, no cheer, no fun, same food, same games, same exercise, same environment, one difference, and that is stern, harsh parents, house parents here, and loving, tender, cheerful house parents over here. After 1 year, they tested these children. They found that the children who were in the happy place were 2 inches taller than average growth, 2 inches above the children who were in an unhappy environment. They found that the children who were happy, weight-wise, were several pounds heavier than the children who were in the unhappy condition. They found that there were many times more diseases and illnesses in the children of the unhappy, stern kind of environment than from those in the happy, gay, merry kind of environment. What are they trying to teach? If they'd read the Bible, they'd found out years ago, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And that's why we have a little humor. You don't know it. We're trying to make you well. We're trying to save you doctor bills. And that's why I'm so well. I have a merry heart. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, so says the Bible. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, one of my favorite characters in history, was an invalid. She could not as much as lift up her head in bed. One day a man came by to see her, Robert Browning. Robert Browning visited her one day, and she lifted up her head for the first time in years. He came back and visited her the second time, and for the first time in years, she sat up in bed. On his first visit, he brought her so much cheer and love that she lifted up her head. On his second visit, he brought her so much cheer and love that she sat up in bed. On his third visit, she eloped with him. You know, some of you gals that can't get married, if you just have a cheerful countenance, you'd be surprised what would happen. And so what is it? A merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good. A merry countenance, a cheerful countenance, doeth good like a medicine. Now you say, Brother Hiles, how do you get a merry heart? I'd like to be cheerful. You'd be surprised how many people come to me and say, do you ever feel sad, young people? Do you ever feel sad? You're going to feel sad in a minute. And do you ever get down? I guess I get down some. Occasionally I get discouraged, but I hardly ever get what you'd call real, honest-to-goodness blue. I do not recall the last time that I was real, honest-to-goodness blue. You say, well, why don't you? I haven't got enough sense to know about my problems, you see. Down in Terrell, Texas, is the Westville of Texas. That's where the place is where people like Brother Fisk spend their lives. And it's the mental institution. And Terrell, and so if you want to insult somebody, and we shouldn't do this, it's terrible, and it's unkind. But you say you ought to go to Terrell if you want to insult somebody. And so over in Terrell, we used to go there and conduct services on Sunday afternoon. I'll never forget it. Had a fellow in Terrell that thought he was George W. Truett. George W. Truett was pastor of the famous First Baptist Church of Dallas, the largest church in the world at the time, and no doubt the most famous pastor in the world. And this fellow thought he was George W. Truett. And every Sunday afternoon we'd go over there, and this fellow had a crowd, and he's preaching to them. And he'd say, my name is George W. Truett, and I have come to tell you the gospel. And he had a little crowd, and a bunch of the folks, they were the same type folks he was, and they'd listen to him, and they thought he was George W. Truett, too. And so he had the biggest time. We were there watching him one day, and a fellow said to me, "Don't you feel sorry for that fellow?" I said, "Feel sorry for him? Nothing. I never heard him complain. I never saw him frown. He's the happiest fellow I know. The truth is, I wish I were George W. Truett." And he's happy. I said, "Look at him. He has a crowd to hear him preach. They think he's George W. Truett. He thinks he's George W. Truett. He doesn't have to have a deacon's meeting. He doesn't have to raise any money. He doesn't have to build a Baptist city. He doesn't have to raise the budget. He doesn't have to find chairs for the crowd. They all wear straight jackets. He doesn't have to find the chairs for the crowd. He's the happiest fellow in the world." I said, "I envy the fellow." The honest, simple truth is, envy the fellow who has a merry countenance, a happy heart, a cheerful spirit. Why? It doeth good like a medicine. You know why? You know why a lot of folks have stomach problems? And I'll have stomach trouble tomorrow. You wait and see. But all tight. I'm just worried all the time. And what happens? The nerves and the high blood pressure shoots up, and the stomach problem comes, and before long, a nervous breakdown, and then you break out in a rash, and so forth. Why? Because you don't have a merry spirit, a cheerful countenance. And what happens? Physically, you're not well. Why? Because you're not happy. That's why. Now, you sit with the house. How in the world can I get this happy or cheerful spirit? All right. Jesus tells us how to get it. Three times in the Bible, our Lord mentions a certain sentence. Be of good cheer. By the way, that word that word cheer is exactly the same word that the word merry is. Now, of course, it's in different language, but it means the same thing. Be of good cheer. When it says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Be of good cheer. Three times. Only three times did our Lord ever say these words. Now, Paul said them once or twice, but Jesus said them three times. Be of good cheer. Have a merry heart. Have a happy heart. Have something that'll do good like a medicine. Now, what three things makes a person have a happy heart? Number one, sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. You want to have a merry heart that doeth good like a medicine? Get your sins forgiven. Jesus said, he came to Capernaum. And when he was it was his hometown, by the way. He was born in Nazareth. Capernaum was a little bigger town down the road. And Jesus came to Capernaum, which was sort of the capital of the county seat, if you please, his hometown. He came to Capernaum. And a fellow came there sick of a palsy. And Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Ah, boy, cheerful is the person whose sins are forgiven. You want to be cheerful this morning? One reason I enjoy life. You say, "Brother Hiles, don't you ever have a guilt conscience?" Yeah, I have a guilt conscience. Sure I do. But my sins aren't recorded in heaven. Why? Because I've been saved. When God saves a man, not only does he wipe away all of his past sins, but he never again, as long as he lives, records a sin against his eternal record. Why? Our sins are imputed to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul meant in Romans chapter 4 when he said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." The word blessed there means contented is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, we've done this time and time again, but for you unsaved folks, I won't do it again this morning. Doc, let you and I drive down the street here. We've done this before. You and I have done this together before? We're about to do it now. Okay, let's drive down the street. And you got a car and I got a car. We're driving right beside each other. And we're pulling out from Sibley, church here, going down Sibley. Have you ever come to that light when it's green down here, the first light? It's always red. Yes. Always red. Well, take it back. It's always green till you get to it. And just before you get to it, it turns red. There's a cop that hates me that parks down there and has a switch and turns that thing red. Every time I get to it, always just turning red. Okay? We're both in a hurry. That's always the truth. We're both in a hurry. Now, you're not saved. I'm saved. Since I'm the one in charge of this performance, I get the best part. So I'm saved, and you're not saved. Now, okay, drive down the street, and all of a sudden, the light changes. We push on the brake.
Push on the brake. Brake, the accelerator.
No, brake. Oh, brake. Okay. Because okay. And we have to sit there. And that's the longest light in the world. It's green for the folks on Soul Street. It's green for us on Sibley Street, 10 seconds. It's green for Soul Street, 20 minutes. Have you noticed that? About that. Okay. And we got to wait. And I'm mad, you're mad. I said, "Dirty bricker back a pack of loamer." You said the same thing.
Dirty bricker back a pack of loamer.
All right. Now then, the Lord looks down and says, write that. Hey, angel, recording angel, Billings just said dirty brickerbacker packalomer. And so the angel writes down against B here, Billings, dirty brickerbacker packalomer. And he lost his temper and got mad, and that's in his record. And the angel says, okay, Hiles said the same thing, Lord. I'm going to put it in his record too. And the Lord says, nope, don't put it in Hiles' record. And the angel says, well, you favor Hiles over Billings. No, I don't either. Well, he said the same thing Billings said. I'm going to put it, no, don't put it in his record. Well, same thing. Same sin. Well, now, why does the Lord put it in Billings' record and doesn't put it in mine? Because I've been saved. And so what happened? Jesus says, angel, put that on my record. You see? Put that on my record. And so what happens? All of a sudden, Billings says, uh-oh, God's going to put that on my record.
Uh-oh, God's going to put that on my record.
You feel better, don't you?
Terrible.
It's not on my record. When I said that, it's on Jesus' record. Now, who's blessed, me or Billings? Huh? Look at him frowning. Look at me. I'm happy. See? What happens? He gets ulcers. I don't. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Don't you see? Thank you. Now, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Here's two fellows getting a fuss. And one says, you dirty... I help me on some bad words. I don't know any vineyard. you dirty slatter rip. And the other fellow says, oh, you're a dirty slatter rip. And they say the same thing. Both of them get mad. But the Lord charges it up against the unconverted man. Against the man who's been saved, it does not go against his record. Don't misunderstand me. He'll pay for it in the flesh, and God may punish him. And the other guy may knock him and hit him in the nose and give him a bloody nose, and he'll pay for it. You see, but as far as his standing before God is concerned, God never puts a sin against his record. Now, if your sins are forgiven like that, how do you get your sins forgiven like that? Not by joining a church. Not by being confirmed. Not by getting baptized. Not by going to confession. Not by turning over a new leaf. Not by living a good life. How do you get your sins forgiven like that? By realizing that you're a sinner and that you can't save yourself, and that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you on the cross, and you come and say, oh God, I receive you in faith as my hope for heaven. And that faith makes contact with God. And Jesus says, Father, put all of his sins, past, present, and future, on my record. And then Jesus died on the cross. He paid the penalty for my sins. Now that's what salvation's all about. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I can recall when I was in college, one of the most impressive things I ever heard said. My Bible teacher, one of my Bible teachers, Dr. Frazier was his name, a great man. For years, he had been a pastor in the Church of Christ. Now, I'm not criticizing the denomination this morning. I'm just giving you the story. Been a pastor in the Church of Christ. And he thought that you had to live good to go to heaven. And if you had any unconfessed sin, if you died in that state, you'd go to hell when you died. And so Dr. Frazier stood up one morning early in my college days, and I'm sure he's in heaven now, and he said, brethren, oh, he said, thank God I learned about grace. Thank God I learned about grace. And he told this story. He said, I was a Church of Christ preacher, and I thought that if you didn't hold on, you wouldn't get to heaven. And I thought if you did anything wrong and didn't get forgiveness for it right away, and you died, he said, I thought you'd go to hell. And he said, I can recall every night, though I was pastor of a church, I'd get on my knees beside the bed, and I'd say, oh, God, forgive this sin today. And, Lord, this one, and that one. Oh, but he said, Lord, if I've forgotten any, let me remind me of it now, because if I died while I was asleep and had a sin unconfessed, I'd go to hell. Oh, God, let me know now. And he said, I couldn't sleep at night, and I'd try to think of all of my sins, and I was miserable, and I was sick. And he said, one day somebody told me that it was faith and not works, and it was grace and not goodness and good deeds and joining a church. And one day I came and I said, Jesus, I trust you to take me to heaven, not my goodness and not my confession of sin and not my church membership, but I trust you. And a great big smile swept across that old saint's face. And great, he used to be an army officer, a major in the army. And a great big smile crept across that old warrior's face. And tears began to stream down his cheeks. And he raised his hand toward heaven. And he said, young man, hallelujah! Hallelujah! I found out it's not me, it's Jesus. It's not my works, it's Him. It's not what I've done, it's what He did. And now he said, I go to bed at night and said, Lord, forgive my sins because I want you to forgive me. I don't want you to punish me for them. But he said, as far as going to hell is concerned, 'tis done. The great transaction is done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He led me and I followed on, charmed to confess His love divine. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. You want a mere countenance this morning? You come to church and you say, Brother Hiles, you say, I just don't believe in all this laughing in church. And you know why? Because you're trying to work your way there. Huh? Hey, here's a flood back yonder 6,000 years ago or so. I've forgotten how long the flood was now. Back yonder. Here's a flood. And Noah says, hey, honey, calls his wife. Let's get inside the boat I've been building for all these 120 years. It's going to be a flood. His wife gets inside the boat. And, kids, hey, Japheth, hey, you and your wife, come on over here. Let's get inside the boat. They got inside the boat. Hey, Ham, come over here. Let's get inside the boat. And Ham and his wife came over and got inside the boat. Hey, Shem, come over here. Bring your wife. And they got inside the boat. And now there they are. Are they safe? Yeah. You know what? There's a storm outside, but they don't have to worry about that. They can sing together. They can laugh together, have fun together. You know, a lot of you folks, what you do, you think that Noah drove 8 nails in the side of that boat, big 16-penny nails. And he said, hey, sweetheart, you grab one nail and hold on. Faithful, hey, Ham, you get one. Shem, hang on to a nail. Japheth, hang on to a nail. And there come the floods and the storm, and the boat begins to rock, and Noah says, blessed be God, I'm holding out faithful to the end. You wouldn't have to worry about that if you get inside the boat. Just get inside the boat. Inside the boat, you don't have to worry and fret. Oh, Jesus. Jesus said, Paul said, blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute sin. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. You want to have a happy heart this morning and thereby have a good, healthy body? You want to do it? Then what do? Get your sins forgiven. Let me ask you a question. Are your sins forgiven? Huh? Are your sins forgiven? Have you been born again? Have you ever come to Jesus and said, not my goodness, but thine, not the church, but you, not the confirmation, but you, it's faith in Jesus. Have you been born again? Then you have a right to have a cheerful heart if your sins are forgiven. But there's a second time that Jesus said these same words. Be of good cheer. The second time is in Matthew 14:27. You recall they're in this terrible storm. And the storm was raging. And Jesus came to them and said, be not afraid. It is I. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. Now, why can a person have good cheer and have a merry heart? He does it because of the presence of Christ in the storm. This morning, a lot of our people are in storms. Mrs. Williams and their family this morning. I thought of Bob this morning getting ready for church. I thought about him and how I used to stand back at the back. And how many times Bob has come to me and said, preacher, is everything okay this morning? Is there anything I can do for you? How many times he's comforted me, and this morning he's gone to heaven. But the family will mourn, but they can be of good cheer. Why? In the storms of life, Jesus is there. Oh, what a difference it makes. There are many others. One of our dear ladies, I'll just call her name, Mrs. Honeyford, Wally Honeyford's wife, went to the doctor. I talked to her on the phone last night, and she had a few lumps on her neck here, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her that it may be Hodgkin's disease. You know what that is. And I called her last night, and I said, let's believe God. Let's believe God. And so the storms are there, but oh, blessed be God, when the storm is there, Jesus is there. You say, well, what? Why are you happy all the time? Brother Hiles, somebody said to me, he said, you cut up at a funeral more than most folks do at a wedding. Yeah, I know I do. I know I do. Somebody came to me and said, Brother Hiles said, you have the sweetest weddings. You laugh at weddings. The other day I married a couple, and he gave her the wedding band in a restroom. Isn't that awful? He came to visit her, and he wanted to get along with her. He couldn't get along with her. And so he said, would you come back here in the kitchen? And company was in the kitchen. He said, did you come back here in the bedroom? Company was in the bedroom. He said, could I see you in the living room? They're in the living room. And so he said, okay, come in here. He didn't know what it was. He opened the door and walked in a room, and there it was, the restroom. And he gave her the wedding band. I told it in the wedding. Oh, you say you shouldn't do it in a time like that. Well, now, I don't just have a merry heart in certain times. I don't have a merry heart at a ball game and not at a wedding. I have a merry heart at a funeral. I hate to say it, don't mean to be unkind, but though my father had died and he wasn't saved, nevertheless, when I buried my dad years and years and years ago, I had in my heart a merry heart. Why? Because Jesus was there. He was there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be if he's there. Why do we have a lilt in our singing? Why do we sing, he is able to deliver thee? Why does Dr. Billings get up and say, try to get the world's greatest baseball player? That's one of the funniest things I ever heard in my life. He played basketball the other night on the faculty's team. I asked him how many rebounds he got. All he got was a bunch of bruises on his nose where the knees of the other players hit him. But why do we do it? You say, oh, I don't believe in all that laughing and cutting up. You would if your sins were forgiven. You would if Jesus were with you in the storm. Look. The darkest day the Christian ever spends is brighter than the brightest day the unsaved man ever spends. I said it often. I go to church after church. I was at a Church of God convention recently preaching. And I walked in, and it had a dual chancel. One pulpit over here, one pulpit over here. And a big table in the middle, a bunch of candles burning here in the middle. I like to wore myself out running from pulpit to pulpit preaching, you know. And they were so dead and dry. And I got up and I said, where's the casket? And the moderator said, what do you mean? I said, where's the body? He said, what do you mean? And I said, you know, our folks have more fun at funerals than you're having now. Why? Jesus said to that man, sick of the palsy, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. He said to those apostles that were on the stormy sea, be of good cheer, don't be afraid, it is I. The third time he said it, he said, be of good cheer in John 16:33, I have overcome the world. He's talking about his departure back to heaven. It'll just be a few hours now till he goes back to heaven. He's about to go to the cross with all the suffering of Calvary. And so he gathers his own around the circle and talks to them. And they say, oh, he's going to go away. Our captain's going away. Our Savior's going away. What do we do? And Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. What does that mean? It means that our Lord said, don't be afraid of the world. I've overcome the world. I think he meant about what it means when our Lord said, do not rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. Did you know I checked that word rejoice one time? And you know what it means? It means jump up and down and click your heels together. If I said this morning, your name is written in heaven, and if Doug Hiles over here said, whoopee! All of a sudden, most of us are criticizing, and the Lord had said, that's what I had in mind when I wrote that verse. It means jump up and down and click your heels together. Why? Your name is written in heaven. I had a wonderful privilege. Oh, it's been... Oh, my soul has been long... been. Good night. It's been a while ago. But I wanted to join the Navy back in World War II. No, I didn't want to join the Navy. It's either that or the Army. And I wanted to get in the easy one. The Navy, fellas. I wanted to get where all the sissies go, and so I... but anyway, I wanted to join the Navy. So they said, you got to have a birth certificate. I never did get in because I failed the colorblind test. No birth certificate. So I went down to Italy, Texas, where I was born. Little town of 1,000 people. And went to the... no city hall. No city or no hall, really. Little old building over a drugstore. Went up some old rickety stairs. The last time it was dusted was when Abraham Lincoln was there to visit. And found some old books, rickety books. So a fellow said, that not there, 1926. And I pulled it out. And you know the kind of paper that if you bent it, it'd break. And I opened to H. And then I opened toward the last of the H. And sure enough, I was born. I seen it with my own eyes. And you know, it seems so funny looking there, and there it was. It said Jack Frazier, that's F-R-A-S-U-R-E, Jack Frazier Hiles, born, take a note, September 25th, and 1926. And I just laughed, and I thought, man, isn't that something? There's my name right there. And I thought all the way home, if I could go to heaven and get the recording angel that has the books to say, hey, look at the H's there. Huh. And the angel, hey, here's one that says H's. Okay, look toward the end, over H-H-Y. And I know this morning, as sure as I know that my name is written in Italy, Texas, on the birth register, that if you looked in heaven this morning under the H's, you'd find old Jack Frazier Hiles. The angel says, it may be spelled F-R-A-Z-I-E-R because angels don't spell very well. But you'd find Jack Frazier Hiles written. You know why? Because I've been saved. And the Bible says, rejoice, merry, happy, cheerful. Why? Because your name is written in heaven. That's why we have a merry. And did you know you can have a merry heart? You folks sitting here this morning saying, I'll be glad this is over. Did you know you're going to have high blood pressure and ulcerated ulcers if you don't watch out? Do you know that? You folks saying, I tell you, I just wish we had a more ritualistic service. I know you do. You know why? Because you don't have much peace all week long, and you got to find a little house where you can get a little peace every once in a while. But if you get your sins, listen now, if you get your sins forgiven, and if you can have the presence of Christ with you in the storm every day of your life, and if you can know that your name is written in heaven, you'll find you have a merry heart. And it'll do good like a medicine. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that our Lord has told us how we can have good cheer. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning in this invitation. Every head is bowed. Ushers, may I have either more volume or may I have more treble, please? With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, please. I wonder how many can say, Brother Hiles, I know what you're talking about. My sins are not recorded against me. My sins are not written in heaven. I know what you're talking about. I understand it. Brother Hiles, I know what you mean. My name is in heaven. If you went to heaven and looked in heaven this morning, you'd find my name is there. My sins are forgiven. I have the presence of Christ. I'm God's child, and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please? Way up high. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven when you die. You can drop your hands. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, either one or two things. Either you're not saved or you're ashamed of Jesus, and either one's a pretty sorry state to be in. Either you're not saved or you're ashamed of Jesus. Now, you've got to die too. But you said, Brother Hiles, I'm a Catholic. Catholics have to die too. But I belong to the First Baptist Church. First Baptist Church folks have to die too. But I'm a Presbyterian. Presbyterians have to die too. But I'm a Episcopalian. Episcopalians have to die too. But I'm an Assembly of God. You've got to get born again too, like everybody else. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I wonder how many would be just as honest as you were then. And you'd say, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand then. I couldn't raise my hand. I do not know that my name is written in heaven, but I wish I did. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know it, but I wish I did. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want Jesus with me in the storms of life. I want my name written in heaven. I don't know that it's there. Oh, let's say honestly, let's be honest this morning. Let's just face the issue. How many would say, Brother Hiles, I do not know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. I don't know that if I died now, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. First on the lower floor. How many?